QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for December 19, 2012. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at arrl.org/aries-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Hurricane Center Station active on Skywarn Recognition Day. Hurricane Sandy spawns lessons learned for Connecticut Aries. Super Typhoon Bhopal hams respond with communications support. Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference 2012, a wrap. Clark County, Washington set Independence Day in November. Santa Barbara Aries saves the day for agencies in earthquake drill. Utah Aries Skywarn spotters prompt insightful NWS letter. Nominate now 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award and K1CE for a final. Now the news. Hurricane Center Station active on Skywarn Recognition Day. WX4NHC, the amateur radio station at the National Hurricane Center in Miami, Florida, was activated on Saturday, December 1st, for Skywarn Recognition Day, a nationwide event. Julio Ripoll, WD4R, assistant coordinator for the station, said this was an excellent on-the-air event to practice our radio skills and exchange basic weather data over ham radio between NWS forecast offices and volunteer Skywarn spotters. We tested our equipment, antennas, computers, and several modes of communications that are used to gather surface eyewitness reports during severe weather events, including, of course, hurricanes. Mr. Ripoll said that this was also a good opportunity to train new operators on equipment and procedures and interface with the NWS staff that may not be familiar with the capabilities of amateur radio communications. Even though HF propagation was poor from our location in South Florida, WX4NHC operators were able to make a total of 122 contacts, 70 on HF, VHF, and UHF, and 52 on Echolink and IRLP. We made direct contact with 24 NWS offices nationwide. The farthest station contacted was in Estonia, where it was -1 degree Celsius, or approximately 30 degrees Fahrenheit, with light snow. The coldest weather report received was 18 degrees Fahrenheit from Turner, Maine. The warmest weather report received was 82 degrees Fahrenheit from Brownsville, Texas. The most unique report was volcanic haze from Honolulu, Hawaii. Mr. Ripoll offered special thanks to the VOIP Hurricane Net team operating from NWS Taunton, Massachusetts, for sponsoring the net on Echolink and IRLP. Hurricane Sandy spawns lessons learned for Connecticut Aries. In last month's issue, Connecticut Section Manager Betsy Doan, K1EIC, reported on her section's comprehensive deployment for massive Storm Sandy. This month, her section emergency coordinator, Wayne Gronland, N1CLV, offers his perspective on lessons learned from the event. The old adage that a disaster is not the time to be exchanging business cards was validated. In areas where strong relationships had been previously developed with our served agencies, such as the Red Cross, Connecticut Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, as well as municipal governments, Requests for amateur radio assistance in shelters and at EOCs were quickly and effectively handled at the local level. In those areas where Aries Skywarn officials exercised active and strong leadership and were proactive in offering and providing amateur radio support, there were a lot of useful and productive assignments available to our volunteers. The five regional DECs and the Skywarn DEC, or their designated representatives, participated in statewide SEC nets conducted every 2 hours. Mr. Gronlund continued, "The SEC net gave me a good feel for where things were going well and where they were not." Section Manager Doan was an active participant and helped me to identify and address any issues in our response. VHF and UHF frequencies, both repeater and simplex, provided the primary platform for our disaster response and emergency communications needs. During the widespread power outages, many of our repeater systems shifted to emergency power and continued to function. Repeater owners and control operators did an extraordinary job of keeping us on the air. The KB1 AEV linked system in particular remained viable and provided coverage for approximately 80% of the state. Many of the facilities where we rendered assistance would not easily accommodate deployment of HF antennas. Areas for improvement. A significant number of our volunteers are affiliated with both Aries Skywarn and the Red Cross, and to some extent other volunteer groups who provide disaster support. Depending on the nature of the incident, volunteers may choose to assist one of the other non-governmental organizations whom they support rather than Aries Skywarn. This double counting of resources creates a shortfall in the numbers of operators expected to be available to help. Getting more Aries Skywarn leaders at all levels to exercise what we, in the Coast Guard, call trained initiative would improve our effectiveness with communications up and down the chain of command. Those leadership officials with local situational awareness who know what needs to be done and how to get it done right without being told to do so, could help to decentralize control and make the entire organization more responsive. Mr. Gronlund says, note, I am not suggesting self-deployment of Aries Skywarn members. Rather, I am suggesting leadership be exercised at the lowest levels of the organization. Thanks to Connecticut Section Emergency Coordinator Wayne Gronlund, N1CLV, for this submission. Super Typhoon Bopa Hams respond with communications support. Jim Linton, VK3PC, Chairman IARU Region 3 Disaster Communications Committee, with Philippines Amateur Radio Association Chief Operating Officer Eddie Valdez, DU1EV, reported, "Typhoon Bopa, a Category 5 superstorm, hit the Philippines on December 3rd, uprooting trees, downing power lines, sparking landslides, and driving 40,000 people to head for shelters. It was the strongest of about 20 typhoons to affect the country this year, with heavy rain and wind gusting up to 210 kilometers per hour as it came ashore at Mindanao. It was the strongest typhoon to ever hit the southern island, and more than 600 people lost their lives. The Philippine Amateur Radio Association, or PARA, PARA, had its ham emergency radio operations program, called HERO, working when the typhoon struck. PARA used all available means of communication, including HF radio on 7.095 MHz, VHF radio on 144.740 MHz, the Internet and social media, such as Facebook, email, and Echolink, to monitor the situation and to give updates to all concerned as necessary. Rodnet 5, a local club of amateur radio operators in Tacloban City, provided the city with vital communications links and was in constant coordination with the City Disaster Risk Reduction Management Council. 5,700 families were evacuated from St. Bernard. Rodnet 5 also assisted the Red Cross in Tacloban and St. Bernard. The city government in Tacloban City used the Tacloban Convention Center as one of its evacuation points. Operations and relief proceeded well with planning and preparations, the cooperation of evacuees, and the mammoth response and recovery efforts. We'll pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for December 19, 2012. Next on the list, Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference 2012, a wrap. The 8th Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference 2012 took place in Port Dickson, Malaysia on November 12th through November 14th. It was hosted by the Malaysian Amateur Radio Transmitters Society and was attended by 17 delegates from 9 countries. The theme of the conference was One World, One Commitment. In 2005, the first Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications, or GARIC, conference was organized on the initiative of SAPO SISITO, OH1VR, in Tampere, Finland. Following the success of this event and the increased interest in international and regional cooperation on the function of emergency communications, GARIC conferences were established as annual events. For the Malaysia conference last month, presentations were received on the Mobile Emergency Weather System, which provides a means for citizens to assist authorities with weather reports using simple equipment and training, augmented by the amateur service. The status of the amateur radio emergency service provisions in Finland, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Germany, and Switzerland was discussed, which highlighted the differences and similarities in approaches to emergency planning by the respective countries, directed to meeting the needs of their peoples. The Swiss delegation presented their procedure for a special net control protocol, which provided more efficient message handling when the volume of messages increases beyond the needs of a simple net. The conferees considered the common issues facing amateur radio emergency communicators and recognized that while solutions may not be easy to find, sharing the problems and allowing individual countries to realize that they are not alone provides valuable support to the global amateur radio emergency and disaster relief community. Conferees participated in 2 exercises. The first was a directed exercise where they were asked to work together as a team, providing emergency communications for a fictional country and event. This encouraged the delegates to consider what their ideal network and licensing environment would look like, as well as enhance interpersonal relationships, helping them to work together more efficiently in the future. The IARU HF emergency operating procedure was reviewed, following the experience of use in global set and national exercises. A number of opportunities were identified to improve the procedure, and these will be developed by the delegates for presentation to the IARU Regional Emergency Coordinators. The conferees concluded the titles of GARIC and the Global Center of Emergency Frequencies, or COA frequencies, may be misinterpreted as referring only to global emergencies. This is not the case, they said. Quote, "The conference and COA frequencies are available for all emergency communicators around the world to share their knowledge to assist their colleagues who are having problems themselves." There was a discussion on how GARIC and emergency communications should be branded to allow more exposure to served agencies and the public we also serve. And I quote, "All emergency communications groups are encouraged to share information on all emergencies they are asked to assist with, so that our public profile is raised and understanding of our service improved." It was discovered that 4 countries were independently looking at the issue of monitoring the COA frequencies to allow the alert to be raised for a disaster emergency in an automatic manner. And again, I quote, "It would obviously be better for those countries to collaborate on establishing a standard solution. The continuation of GARIC as a forum to share ideas and plans may prevent duplicate efforts in the future." There was increased understanding of the restrictions placed on radio amateurs in different countries in the context of emergency response. The delegates suggested that future conferences seek to involve partners in emergency response, such as IFRC and ITU, to ensure that the most value is gained from the memoranda of understanding that exist between those organizations and the amateur radio community. The next GARIC will be held in Zurich, Switzerland, on June 25th through June 27th, 2013. All groups and organizations are invited to attend. Future conference venues have been identified as Huntsville, Alabama in 2014 and Tampere, Finland in 2015. The conferees thanked their hosts, the Malaysian Amateur Radio Transmitters Society, and the people of Malaysia. Clark County, Washington set Independence Day in November. Steve Aberl, WA7PTM, a Western Washington official emergency station, wrote, "No, it wasn't the misdirection of a national holiday, but rather the opportunity to focus on digital messaging modes that motivated the Clark County, Washington Aries Races members to venture out for 3 hours on a dark and stormy evening, November 19th. A weekday evening was selected to allow members who are not normally available for weekday or weekend exercises to participate. This fall's 2012 SET, or Section Emergency Test, scenario involved a typical 4th of July public agency communications overload with the added task load of 2 simulated major fireworks-related fires. One in a mixed business residential neighborhood, and the other adjacent to Interstate 5, just north of Vancouver. More than 35 members deployed to their designated team locations, including the county EOC, the sheriff's office, 5 fire departments, 1 hospital, 1 EMS station, and 1 SAR group. In order to practice multiple messaging modes in parallel, injects of simulated traffic came via WinLink 2000, Packet BBS, and voice. Interoperability between Windows, Mac, and Linux computers was exercised as well. At one point, voice net control was smoothly shifted from 2 meters to 70 centimeters. The 1.25-meter band was also used for passing messages. Santa Barbara Aries saves the day for agencies in earthquake drill. The 4 Santa Barbara, California County Aries units were activated on November 15th to assist the county's public health department in a statewide emergency response exercise. As it turned out, the amateurs saved the day when the participating agencies were unable to deliver messages through the new Web EOC computer system. The scenario was a major earthquake, and each county health department was to respond as though the disaster were local. In Santa Barbara County, players included all hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, the American Red Cross, Direct Relief International, and retirement communities, law enforcement, public works, etc. The county office emergency management staff had been training local agencies on the Web EOC computer program for several months. This exercise was to be a real-time test of the system, recently installed in the new Emergency Operations Center. Aries members reported to 5 local hospitals to establish backup communications with the Public Health Department's Operations Center, or DOC, and the county EOC. They were also asked to respond to a medical field treatment center in Santa Barbara, about 15 miles from the DOC. Because 3 of the hospitals are separated from Santa Barbara and the DOC by a 4,000-foot-high mountain range, a 2-meter repeater on the ridgeline was used for countywide voice communications. Each of the four areas established nets on their local repeaters and on 2-meter simplex frequencies to communicate between field units, EOCs, hospitals, and the DOC. Within an hour of the exercise start, it was apparent traffic flow on the Web EOC system was in trouble. ARES communicators at hospitals and city EOCs were sending queries to the county EOC about messages that had not been answered and information expected to arrive had not been received via Web EOC. Fortunately, flow of traffic to, from, and between hospitals, EOC, and DOC on the ARES networks was seamless, and important information, such as conference call phone numbers and codes, allowed the exercise to continue as planned. A battalion chief, who is the communications coordinator of the Lompoc Fire Department, said, "ARES was about the only communications that worked." The ARES operator at the EOC also checked in to the state and region nets on 40 meters. In addition to voice communications backup, the Public Health Department requested the Santa Barbara ARES unit to provide slow-scan television from a field treatment site they had set up in Santa Barbara, about 15 miles away, to the DOC. A 224 megahertz repeater on the mountain was used to send the images. They were received in both the radio room at the DOC and in the operations center, so staff managing the emergency could see victims arriving, doctors providing triage and care, and transportation. The Emergency Preparedness Program Administrator was extremely pleased with the abilities of amateur radio to be flexible and to respond to the needs of the Operations Center staff as they occurred. The staff specifically requests slow-scan television whenever they feel it will be useful to them. 19 ARES members participated, led by Lou D'Artaner, N6ZKJ, the District Emergency Coordinator, Bruce Gordon, N6OLT, the Santa Barbara EC, Ray Lishka, W9EC, the Lompoc EC, Jim Gilbert, AK6JG, Santa Ynez EC, and Dennis Daniel, KM6DF, the Santa Maria EC. The new county EOC opened in 2011. During the construction, the Office of Emergency Management staff solicited input from ARES officials not only for communications, but for ideas and comments in general. When it came to installing amateur antennas on the 40-foot tower, the OEM manager told ARES there was a problem. He said the sides of the tower were pretty full, and he asked if we would mind having our antennas on the top. We said we would manage. The top of the tower supports a 2-meter, 220 megahertz, and 450 megahertz tri-band antenna, as well as a Carolina Wyndham HF antenna on a crossarm. This, with a three-element 2-meter beam at the 30-foot level on the tower and aimed at the repeater on the mountain, allows coverage on all the amateur frequencies from 3.5 megahertz to 450 megahertz. Thanks to District Emergency Coordinator for Santa Barbara, California ARES, Lou D'Artaner, N6ZKJ, for this report. And it's time again to take a short pause for station identification. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and this is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for December 19, 2012. Utah ARES Skywarn spotters prompt insightful NWS letter. The Uintah County, Utah ARES group was called by the National Weather Service's Grand Junction, Colorado Forecast Office on Saturday, August 11th to work in a skywarn capacity for expected severe weather. Uintah County EC Lamond Harrison, WX7L, sent alerting texts and emails and put out a call on the radio to ARES Skywarn members to be prepared. Mr. Harrison reports, "At about 1:30 p.m., we were activated. The NWS requested that we have people stationed at multiple points on the mountain north of Vernal to report the received weather." The computer models were predicting heavy rain with hail up to 1.25 inches in diameter and high winds, so we grabbed our equipment and off we went. Uintah County is located in the northeastern corner of Utah, and it's larger than the state of Delaware. Daggett County is north of the county next to Wyoming, and Moffat County, Colorado, is to the east. The NWS office in Grand Junction is located 140 miles southeast of Vernal, Utah. Because of the mountains in the area, we are in a Doppler radar black hole, said Mr. Harrison. The bottom of the radar image over Uintah County is about 20,000 feet high. Vernal's elevation is 5,230 feet. So, radar does not come close to seeing what is happening on the ground. The southern part of Uintah County is high mountain desert. Only sagebrush, cactus, and a few clumps of grass grow there. Flash flooding is a constant danger, so having the radar working properly is critical for the highway over the mountains and the many roads and energy workers in the desert. Because the Doppler radar image is only looking at the tops of the storm clouds, the NWS has written computer models to let them know what is actually happening on the ground. Mr. Harrison said, since they want them perfect, that is why they called us. Nominate now 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. Nominations are open for the 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. This award is conferred upon an amateur or amateurs who demonstrate devotion to human welfare, peace, and international understanding through amateur radio. The League established the annual prize to recognize those radio amateurs who have used ham radio to provide extraordinary service to others in times of crisis or disaster. As one of the few telecommunications services that allow people throughout the world from all walks of life to meet and talk with each other, amateur radio spreads goodwill across political boundaries. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award recognizes the amateur radio service's unique role in international communication and the assistance amateurs regularly provide to people in need. Nominations should include a summary of the nominee's actions that qualify the individual or individuals for this award, plus verifying statements from at least 2 people having first-hand knowledge of the events warranting the nomination. These statements may be from an official of a group, for example, the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, a local or state emergency management official, that benefited from the nominee's particular amateur radio contribution. Nominations should include the names and addresses of all references. A committee appointed by the League's president recommends the award recipients to the ARRL board, which makes the final decision. Andrei Fedorov, KL1A, / RW3AH, received the 2011 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. Mr. Fedorov is the former chief coordinator of the Russian Amateur Radio Emergency Service and has been involved in providing communications support via amateur radio for almost 25 years. He has also served in Rwanda, Turkey, and Kosovo as an emergency rescue service officer and as a regional communications officer for the UN peacekeeping mission in Afghanistan. All nominations and supporting materials for the 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award must be submitted in writing, in English, to ARRL International Humanitarian Award, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111, USA. Nomination submissions are due by December 31, 2012. In the event that no nominations are received, the committee may determine a recipient or decide to make no award. The recipient of the ARRL International Humanitarian Award receives an engraved plaque as well as a profile in QST Magazine and other ARRL venues. And now, K1CE for a final. Rick Palm says, I was taken by the letter from the National Weather Service's meteorologist to the EC of Unitah County, Utah, Lamond Harrison, WX7L. It provided an intimate glimpse into just how significant the NWS considers amateur radio's skywarn contributions. I found it to be fascinating and richly rewarding. Congratulations to Unitah County Aries. And finally, happy holidays from all of us here on the corporate mega campus of the Aries E-Letter editorial and production offices at Daytona Beach, Florida, the world's most famous beach. Catch you next year. 73 Rick K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for December 19, 2012. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2012, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.